podcast. Hey, you're listening to the Coker Chronicles podcast. This is episode, fucking 30 or something?
35 like, or something. 35. Like
oh my God. You know how many times episodes start with me saying, what episode is this? This is episode 32. Episode 2 of season 2, if you're counting. If you're, you know, putting together a nice little collector's, you know, list or something. This week we got some things to talk about, and we're going to jump right into it. There was some action on the forum this week, mostly between, like, me and Daryl of RatterReport.com. Talking about Tucker Carter, Eric Sosa, and we're all going to talk about it today. And all of us includes Jared and Shape. Say hi, guys.
I kind of stayed out of it on the...
I know you did, yeah.
Because, you know, it's a philosophical battle, essentially.
A little bit.
Yeah. I started feeling a little awkward. It was like one of those awkward arguments where you, like, just kind of sit there and you kind of just stare at the wall.
Well, I mean, there was, like, no animosity. But, like, at least on my part, I don't know if anybody had any animosity towards me. Let's see. How did it start? Let me go look at this again. In case you're wondering what we're talking about. This is on the forum. We have a new forum. If you haven't listened or haven't hopped on there, we got, like, 51 people, 51 subscribers or members of the forum. This was in, like, regards to Coach Coker was on the ticket, and he said, it's subsequently come out that he wants Carter to play. Like, he's been doing really well in practice. He wants him to play. I'm like, I'm not the biggest fan of QB rotations. Are you guys? Do you like... rotating quarterback?
In general, I have a huge problem with it, and I feel like it never really works out.
I don't like the rotation idea, but I do like the competition idea.
Yeah.
Yes, I think we're all in kind of agreement there. Okay, and so, like, you know, there's a lot of talk here. Like, you know what? I really want you know, Carter to get in there, and, you know, like, I think he's maybe earned the job in practice and whatever. And I say, you know, hold up, guys. My view is that no incumbent quarterback specifically, should lose their spot in non-game situations. Unless it's, like, super obvious, you know what I mean? Like, this guy's, like, you know, he played one snap as a freshman. But especially in this case here, Sosa played a whole year. He did well. You know, he was not completely terrible. He was the leading, like, stat getter, basically, and we've covered this multiple times. I do think it's a good thing for him to have some competition, have a guy pushing him, which means, like, if he messes up in a game situation, you know, first game against South Alabama, he makes some stupid mistakes, there's a guy waiting there, you know, that can step in and do a better job. We didn't necessarily have that last season. You know, although we had guys, we had bodies there, we didn't have guys that the coaches trusted enough to step up and take the spot. That's what I'm saying. I think if Sosa's going to lose his spot, or if Carter's going to win the spot, it's because the guy in front of him messes up or, you know, shows a weakness in the game. And I think it's vitally important, as my old boss used to say.
Well, I don't necessarily agree. I do kind of subscribe to the don't lose your job due to injury, but Tucker Carter's coming in as a JUCO transfer. He's coming in as a junior. It's not like some punk ass kid coming in taking his job. So I think it should be fair. And I think with this problems we're having with the offensive line, you know, it's gonna come down to needing a stronger guy who's the best runner out of the two and who can get away from pressure. And, you know, Tucker Carter's got 20 pounds on Eric Sosa. So I don't know. I think it's a true argument that it should be a open competition.
Okay, Jared,
you should just make an assumption.
Jared, what do you think about, like, that argument? Do you think maybe, like, that argument is kind of like a fatalistic kind of look at it? Like, well, we're going to get put on our ass, and we want a guy that can just take a beating. You know what I mean? Like, don't you want a guy that can make better decisions and, like, maybe can get the ball out quicker and doesn't get, like, put on his ass for, like, a 5-yard loss every play?
Yeah, and the idea is that Tucker is doing that in practice.
Okay.
You know, otherwise, I mean, they're not going to take just some, like, raw athletic freak and start him over a guy who's making good decisions.
Yeah.
You know, like, most coaches are smarter than that. So, I mean, if they just wanted a guy that was bigger, faster, and stronger, they would have just got some freak athlete, not the leading passer in the JUCO world. You know what I'm saying?
All right. So, So what do you guys?
I totally see where you're coming from, though, because I feel like losing your job in practice is a lot different than losing it in a game. Because if I feel like if a guy loses it in practice, he's thinking, oh, well, the coach has screwed me over. I didn't get a chance, et cetera, et cetera. But in a game, you know, he goes, you know, 2 for 10 in the first half and gets sacked 4 times. And then they put Carter in and Carter tears it up, come back and win. Then it's a different story than, you know, say Sosa was the one who was fucking up in the first half. And he's like, well, I know I didn't do my job. And then I know that Tucker did. So I can see why they made that move. But in practice.
Yeah. And then there's also that part there. Like, I like what you said that, like, he feels like the coaches are like, you know, fucking him over. It's not only that. I think other guys kind of feel that way. And I think, like, quarterback is one of those, like, icon positions that everybody looks forward to. They're looking at everybody at the side of their eye. They're looking who's going to be the quarterback. And, you know, every one of the players has an opinion on who should be starting. And that's where they're kind of talking about precedent. Like, you don't want to lose your job. You know, like, you want to, like, be able to win a job. I get all that. But I also think that part of keeping the team together and part of, you know, maintaining good chemistry is showing that, like, hey, if you go out there and do well in the game, the line of fire, where it matters, that means something. And I think Sosa has that on his resume with this team, you know, because there's always that, like, yeah, you did it elsewhere, but can you do it here? It's a little bit different doing here with these guys, and you've been in, like, I don't want to use, like, war terms, but you've been in, like, the foxhole with me, and I know what you can do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
And like it or not, it's different for quarterbacks, right? So, you know, we talk about offensive linemen coming in, JUCO, like we were hoping, and stepping right in, and that wasn't even a question. Like, oh, yeah, we got a big 300-pound guy coming in. He's going to take over and be on the offensive line. But with quarterback, you know, he's supposed to be the leader, and, you know, it's like, do you treat all your kids the same, and all your positions the same, or do you have to, like, you know, yield to the quarterback because he's supposed to be the leader, and obviously Eric Sosa is the face of the team. So it's a tough call from a coaching perspective, but you got to do what's best for the team, which could be, you know, the best guy performing or from a leadership perspective, you know, I mean, not to go too crazy with it, but it's like, you know, Tim Tebow versus Mark Sanchez. It sounds like up there, people, the players are losing faith in Mark Sanchez. They're buying into this thing with Tim Tebow, even though Mark Sanchez is obviously, you know, the superior, you know, traditional type of quarterback. But, you know, you got to follow the leader, you know?
I see what you're saying there. I think, that's what I was saying. I didn't want to get into the NFL discussion because I think that's a little bit different. There's a lot more factors coming into play. Like, you got, like, money, and you have, like, actual experience. You know, like, Tim Tebow has played in the NFL. Mark Sanchez has played in the NFL. But then you get, like, totally different systems coming in. There are a lot more factors at play there. And then you got, like, you know, like, actual, like, adults, and these are not kids. And there's too many more factors. But I think, generally, you kind of, you know, you don't want to just... If you're not bringing in, like, you know, like, a proven guy, that's the thing. It's like, I don't want to say that Tucker Carter, I was kind of, you know,
Dismissive of what he's done.
Yeah, I was a little too dismissive, and I was just kind of trying to make a point. He doesn't have a shaky resume. It's just that, like, for me, you know, if you haven't played with him and we as fans haven't seen him play live on the field on game day, then stats don't really mean a whole lot of things there. Because I think you can kind of say the same thing about Sosa the other way. You look at his stats, a lot of people are looking at his stats like, oh, well, he was like the leading dude there. What's everybody's problem? Why are they so, like, concerned about him? Well, because we saw him play. And we saw him get, like, you know, happy feet sometimes. We saw him, like, force the ball or, you know what I mean, like, hit the ground, like, throw a terrible pass in like, a crucial situation or something like that. We've seen that. And so, you know, I think for the players, once they see it live, Tucker Carter perform live, then he will have, like, checked all the boxes, and then you can go ahead and put him starter. And that's all I was saying. I was like, I don't know. I think Sosa's earned enough to at least start the first game and, you know, finally put the nail in the coffin on his starting position. You know what I mean? Yeah. Kind
of did. And I was a little worried that maybe Tucker Carter was more of a pocket passer, but looking at his stats on JUCO, he's definitely a runner. And I think he averaged, like, 4 yards a carry versus Sosa, 3 yards a carry. And it's, you know, JUCO versus the NAIA, you know, FCS schedule that we had last year. But at the same time, he can get out there. Hey, man, our line's fucked. You know, we got to have a guy that can do something and, you know, get around.
Yeah. Well, going back to the NFL comparison, I think that one of the flaws in that is that in real life, if this was a franchise, they would put Tucker Carter in as a starter, and then they can just get rid of Sosa. They can trade him, cut him, whatever.
Yeah.
But in our situation, you know, say that before South Alabama, August 29th, they announced Tucker Carter starter. Well, now you got Sosa, who hopefully this won't happen, but it's very likely. So Sosa might develop a bad attitude, and then you got to go through three more years of that crap, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a lot of loaded potential for backfire if you move too quick or if you're not considerate to people. Because it's not like Sosa has been not working hard or he's been fucking up in other sense. You know, he's been like the perfect kid. And
I think it's a political move, right?
And I mean, you have to be considerate of that. You can't just go around ripping guys starting jobs away from them for no reason, because then it tells people like, hey, you know, you worked hard, you did everything right, but it still wasn't good enough. You know, so why work hard?
Yeah, that's the thing. You're like, here's a shiny new toy, and we just wanted to play with it right away. That's kind of like that's the impression I'd get if you know, I'm like, dude, I'm here and I did all this shit, and you just didn't even care.
Hey, so what do you guys think? You know, Briggs put out a piece a little bit while ago that he confirmed that Sosa is our starting quarterback, but that Carter would see some snaps. You think it's smoke, or come next or two Thursdays, are we going to see dual quarterback? I think it's just a bunch of crap.
I think we'll see dual quarterback for like the first two games, and then I think Carter will end up winning out. Because as a coach, you're not going to make a statement like that unless you really, really, really have a lot to look forward to with the newcomer.
So what do you think, 50-50 as far as snaps go? Would be that aggressive?
I'd like to see dual quarterbacks, but I'd like to see it like when we're up 42-7 in the fourth quarter, right. And then Carter gets in there and mobs it up, or the other quarterback, whoever's on the bench.
So in week two and week four, maybe we can do that.
Well, there's a great blog called Holy Grantland. It's Ohio State focused, and I mean, even if you're not an Ohio State fan, which I'm not, it's still a great read every day. And they had a piece this morning about Urban Meyer and his two quarterback offense. And that was back when Chris Leak and Tim Tebow were switching out. And
Tebow was like a freshman then, right?
Right, yeah. And they made it work, and you know, they got the job done, and they had a good offense. But it's a little bit different because, you know, Tim Tebow, he's the scrambler, spread option.
Right.
Bullshit.
Two different styles.
Yeah, I don't even know what the hell that offense is, even though we pretty much run it ourselves. But and then Chris Leak is just traditional step back guy.
Yeah, that was exactly the problem. Is that like when he came in, when Urban Meyer came in, Chris Leak didn't run he was like a little shit. He didn't want to do the dives, you know. He didn't want to run the ball. He could kind of run. He had some mobility, but he didn't want to run the option and like actually run in there and get tackled by some of those SEC defenses, man. Which I don't blame him for, man, because I wouldn't want to do that either. I want to get
pancaked
by a 350-pound guy that can run a 4.2.
I worry that our hand will be forced, that these guys can't stay healthy with the way things are looking right now. I hate to say it, but it is what it is.
We shall see.
Yeah. I think we're all pretty much saying that we're not in favor of the two quarterback offense. I think they should like be a little bit patient and then make a decision for like a solid decision. All right, we're going in this direction because we think Carter's better. I think when you say Carter's better, then you play him like the rest of the year. You know, you don't say, we'll see how he does in like two games. It creates too much uncertainty, I think.
We just got a little update from Briggs on his blog. He said that Coker singled out Sosa, Freeman, Jeremiah Moeller, and Colt Hubbell for standout performances throughout camp. And I did see a video on the UTSA football page of Hubbell making a sick, like, over-the-shoulder catch from tight end. So that's pretty promising. Maybe he can fill in for Devin Morgan a little bit there. And then on defense, he had praise for Kerfish, Reeves, Rogers, and Farrington McCone.
Sweet.
So that's it. Oh, and soccer plays tomorrow.
Are you going to make it out to that one?
Yeah, I probably can't stay for the whole game, but I'll be there for a while.
Maybe I'll go to that one. I need to see some soccer.
I'm still pretty pumped up about the U.S. win at Azteca, so I'm going to go embrace a little small sliver of football interest.
Oh, yeah.
Man, Adam wore you down, huh?
The slow drip, man. Slow drip of soccer.
Well,
hey, man.
Me and Adam have talked about this for a long time, like since we first started doing this whole blog nonsense. I mean, I like soccer and I'm interested in the game of it. I just don't know how to really get into it without having to watch 200 teams at once. You know, so I don't know.
Like when I get into something, I like dive in. You know, like I don't get. Right. I jump right in the middle and I sink or swim, and that's kind of what I did. I started watching Serie A and EPL and the Spanish league and French league and MLS, and everything I could. And so I kind of sped up my adoption process. But yeah, man, I'm all in now. I have soccer conversations with my buddy at work. He's a big Man United fan. Yeah. Oh, by the way, if you don't know what the hell happened, United States won in their home. This would be kind of like if Argentina beat the United States basketball team. Well, sort of the United States, but like a big rival.
It would be like Nigeria. It'd be like Nigeria beating the U.S. Olympic team at Staples Center.
I would say Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, you're right.
Madison Square Garden. Because that's it. We've over 75 years, the United States has not won there. They're 0-23-1. You probably heard the stats over and over. It was crazy. Okay, so moving on to the other football team in the city. You guys want to do a little mini Incarnate Word talk?
You know, Roadrunners are fast, but Cardinals fly.
So. Oh my god.
Who approved that, man?
I didn't think they had to. There's only one guy in the whole department there, by the way.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But you know, they've been pretty aggressive. I mean, they don't have the balls of Lynn Hickey, but they've been pretty aggressive. I mean, they're moving on up.
Yeah.
So the point is that, I guess, the point of the conversation is that it looks like Incarnate are going to end up getting that Southland invite along with ACU and UNO, University of New Orleans. And so they're kind of becoming our little brother pretty quickly here. They're taking our spot as the San Antonio contingent of the Southland Conference. So the question is, we keep our stiff arm on these guys, or we make them our little bitch, or what's the? are we happy to see them move up, or are they, you know, are they taking a little bit of a fire from us?
No, not at all.
I think you encourage it. I think encourage their rise, because I don't think they're ever going to be as big, because they don't have as much support, like alumni support or like state support, or you know what I mean. And I think they'll be good for like the overall situation, football in San Antonio. You get more football fans, which will help UTSA in the long run. You know what I mean?
I think for the first article that came out about them wanting to go Division One, they talked about having dreams of going to Conference USA. This was before UTSA was Conference USA. I was like, wait a minute, slow down. Where are the guys moving up? As long as you guys are at the FCS level and stay there, that's fine. But don't pretend like you're going to get up to FBS level, because this is our game. even though you guys were a year ahead of us, this is our game.
No. I don't mind it at all. I think you don't want to fall in the same trap that other teams get into, where they don't want UTSA to come up and compete. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I say I'm off with competition, man. You want to come play. Just, you know, when
I don't know, it's easy to say that when you're the little guy, like, you know, North Texas always talk shit about you or whatever. But then when you get to the level, then it's hard not to like take on that persona. I'll be honest, like, it's hard not to be like little brother, you know? Like, it's always like, oh, North Texas guys are such assholes. You know, they think they're superior to us and they love us. And then as soon as we get to the level, I'm like, ah, fuck Texas State. Stay in the Sun Belt, bitches.
Yeah. The more football there is in town, the happier I'll be, just as a football fan. But, I mean, as far as what impact UIW will have on UTSA, I'll be zero.
I mean, they took our running back this year, I'm just saying.
Oh, they didn't take him. He didn't qualify for UTSA.
So here's the question. When we quit playing these crazy-ass out-of-conference schedules, do you schedule them as your one FCS opponent in the Alamo Dome?
Oh.
I wouldn't mind it.
Not like a regular thing,
but like maybe a one every 3-4 years kind of thing. That'd be cool. That'd be fine. Because, I mean, you kind of stoke the flames a little bit, you know? Like, it's like throwing them a bone. And it's, you know, because they are like our city neighbor, you know what I mean? Like, if they're one, like, TV to deal with, it would be a no-brainer to do that.
Fuck that noise, man. We don't owe them shit. And it's too much to lose, you know, because if we go out there and we don't even have to lose, but if it's a competitive game, it makes us look horrible.
Yeah.
We don't gain anything by beating them.
I don't like that attitude for, like, the same reason that I don't like when, you know, like, other teams are like, oh, why play this? Why play Boise State? Because they beat us. Then what do we gain? So we're going to play somebody we know we can just dominate. You know what I mean? I think it's good for the sport overall. There's some competitive games, and there's something to talk about. It builds it up, and it's just good overall. I think
you can have competitive games against any team. So, I mean, why waste it against a team that you don't gain anything by beating? Right. You know what I'm saying?
It'd be a lot of fun for us as the fans to talk about and to talk shit to the, you know, the
I feel like our fans are more pumped up about playing Oklahoma State, Arizona, whatever, than they are for playing Incarnate Word.
Well, the only thing different about that is the beating comes the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, once you see your team get their ass whooped on TV, like, that's what's going to happen. September 1st, I'm going to watch North Texas get destroyed by LSU.
LSU?
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. And, like, because I drink the Kool-Aid, you know, like, the days leading up, I'm going to just, like, you know, well, what if we just come out and play? Like, what if he gives, like, a great speech? You know what I mean? Like, we can do this. Two teams, 11 teams, you know, 11 dudes on a team, you know what I mean? Like, anything can happen, man. Anything can happen. I'm going to get like that. But right. Then they're going to just be – they're going to be up by 30. They're going to be, like, on our online dynasty that Rice put up, like, 30 points in the second quarter on Jeff's Texas State squad and went on to a 54-3 victory. That's what's going to happen. He's going to destroy our will, and I'm going to turn it off like at halftime and then turn it back on, you know, like late in the third quarter. Really sad. Once enough of those kinds of games happen to UTSA, you'll appreciate those games at will, that we can stomp on some people. Like, I wouldn't mind if you know, like, but we're going to play – UNT's going to play, like, Texas Southern or something. I'm happy. I want to go out there and see a blowout, you know. I want to see our team win and get really drunk.
I don't know, but I mean,
I think every once in a while you throw a bone and say, "Hey, Incarnate Word, come get your ass whooped." You know what I mean? Like, you want to play? Come play.
No, yeah. I none of that changed my original statement at all. In that the risk is so insanely high and the reward is so insanely low. And like I said, we don't owe them anything at all. You know, there are plenty of teams that we can go out and play.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get that. I don't think anybody should be shying away from a challenge, even if it's a high risk, low reward situation. I think that's even more.
It's not a challenge, though. That's the thing. If we want to challenge,
it's like a discipline kind of challenge. Like, it's one thing just to, hey, go get your ass whooped kind of challenge. That's one. Like, it's like, how much pain can you take? And the other one is like, how disciplined are you to go out there and beat a team that you should beat? And go out there and not get mentally lazy. That's different. You know what I mean? Go do what you got to do.
The only way I could ever see it being an advantage was if it was a home game for Incarnate Word. So they're going to be FCS. That'll never happen. Like, you know, if we could get that extra seventh home game just because. But, you know, as an FCS opponent, we don't have to go on a road to that. Yeah. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. Okay. So that's Incarnate Word talk, and they already got us, and they snuck their way onto our podcast.
This is the most anyone has talked about Incarnate Word all week, so congrats, yeah. Cardinals.
Even the people that are enrolling there and going there today, they didn't even talk about it. All right, so speaking of football, Schaefer wrote a little blog post, Why Football Has to Eat First. Why did you write this, and what was the reaction to it, Schaefer?
Yeah, so my point is, like, yeah, we need a new communication center. It'd be nice to have a new baseball field, which to me is not important. But it's like seeing Texas State Stadium. I'm talking about the baseball stadium. It was very nice. But the bottom line is, you know, our program's been toiling for all these years. You know, having problems with money, and you know, look at football has been is, you know, is an influx and the money it's brought in. So, you know, it sounds bad, like, you know, we'll take care of the football program, you know, build them practice facilities, build them offices, and all this stuff, while the other stuff suffers. But at the same time, it's like a business decision. It's go ahead and do this so they can be successful, so that more people will get into it, and they'll make more money in football games. People will donate. I mean, people, you know, people are so into football, they're ready to, you know, hand over money. All these years, the 30 years of basketball, nobody, you know, was like, oh yeah, the basketball team, you know, they won two Southland Conference tournament games. So, let me write a check, you know. So, while it seems cruel, and maybe not the right way to go about it, it's more of a business decision than anything else to try to raise money. So that's why I think we got to go all in with football and then develop everything else later. And then the other point was that, you know, we were so worried about facilities, so that we can move up to a better conference. Well, you know, it worked out where we didn't have to have those facilities. You know, our market, our fan support got us there. So we're already there. So, yeah, sure, for recruiting and all these other things, we need to have better facilities. But, you know, we have to find the money to pay for these things.
Yeah, man, it's that whole growth share matrix, the B-box thing that I learned somewhere in college. You know, like the cash cow, and then the stars are growing, and all that other stuff. Is that like there wasn't, and there hasn't, and there probably will never be enough interest in basketball to fund the other sports. And I think that's obvious. You know, that we're stating, you know, the no shit fact here, that football, like you said, was so popular, it got UTSA. Didn't like UTSA's enrollment like shoot up after they announced the football team and all this other stuff? Like applications went up.
Yeah, but that's one of those things where that was happening before football too.
Was there like any noticeable like uptick, like even more that like shot the trend line up? Any? Yeah, no.
It's just so hard to tell because they were going to go up either way.
Yeah,
okay. Just because the university is growing.
Yeah,
but I have to ask this question: like, was after 1 year of football, is there any question that we would be considered a football school?
Oh, no. Absolutely, yeah.
After 30 years of basketball, just, you know, a couple thousand here, you know, I mean.
Yeah, there's like a perception that you're not legit, unless, especially in Texas, if you don't have a football team. You don't got a football team, then you're not, what are you doing? You know, you're not serious, quote unquote, about sports.
I'm fine if we were being a basketball school, but I mean, UTSA was nothing, and last year with the football, it got crazy. It's a whole different ball game, and there's no doubt that this is a football school. So let football do its thing, make its money, and let's develop everything from there. But let's take care of what's take care of us.
I totally agree, but I do think that like if there's money and there's an opportunity to upgrade the Convocation Center, then you do it. But I think I mostly agree with you, but I don't know, like, is there something like, here's some money, should we give it to basketball or football? Is there a question like that going on?
Well, so here's the thing. So this thing with Northside has been talked about for a long time, about building a new convocation center or arena. Let's get away from the word convocation, convo,
right,
and let's go to arena.
Okay.
Building it on the Park West Complex with bond money from Northside. And you just say there's legislation that allows a school district and a university in the same area to pull together to build something, put their money together. And it makes sense. I mean, it totally makes sense.
Right. Yeah, that's the way it should be.
So, you know, it's efficient and everything is making the most out of taxpayers' money. So that's great. Northside knows how to raise money. They'll put a bond. They'll take it to vote. They'll get their, I don't know what it's going to be, $50 million, $60 million, $70 million, their half. How's UTSA going to get their half? They need to get support in their programs. And the basketball program, what it was doing up to, you know, 3-4 years ago, wasn't going to raise anything like that. I mean, they're trying to break even with their budget. They're not bringing in money to pay these, you know, millions of dollars to build such a facility. So it's, we have to take care of what's going to take care of us, like I said.
So you say we should, like, any money that football is raising that is presumably going to be spent to pay UTSA's half of this NISD deal should be put towards like football facility upgrades instead?
Short term, yes. That's what I think.
What do you think about that, Jared?
See, the thing is that this is still collegiate athletics, and while from a business standpoint, yeah, no shit, that's the right thing to do, but the thing is that you have to be fair, you know, Title IX and all that stuff, that, you know, when you focus on one specific program, area, whatever, and it doesn't have to be football, it could be anything, you know, dodgeball, whatever, but, you know, these are student athletes that are supported by taxpayer money, and, I mean, like, I have friends that play for all kinds of sporting teams at UTSA, and I don't want my friends on the tennis team to get slighted because the football team is badass. Like, that's not really fair. That's not what the university is supposed to stand for. It's supposed to be equality and fairness and opportunities for everyone.
I don't think that they get slighted. I think that they still gain from it because I think they're still going to get a little piece of the pie. Maybe not an equal share of the pie, but they're still going to get thrown a bone.
Yeah, I think I think what Schaefer's saying, he's not saying like they shouldn't get any pie, like we just kind of explained, but I think the first slice of pie should go to football, I think is what he's saying. And then the next slice of pie, like when we get Conference USA money and all those things, those go to the other sports. But right now, it's good to keep the fire hot, fire burning. Is that what you're saying? To try to, you know, like, we got a good thing, we want to keep the momentum up.
Hey, I'm saying, like, so maybe we share evenly, right? It takes us 20 years to get all our facilities up to date. I'm saying if we go all in with football, not all in, we'll give them a little share, but we go strong with the football side, that there's a possibility in 5 years that we can fund all these other things.
I see what you're saying. If that is the case, then I say yeah. I kind of agree with what you're saying. I see what you're saying. You're saying basically, hey, the football team, you want to keep the momentum going. Like, instead of money that could be used to, you know, maintain this momentum, should be used to maintain the momentum because it'll pay off for everybody else, like, later. And later meaning, like, in 3 to 5 years instead of 10 to 20 years. I see what you're saying. If you can prove that is the case and that will happen, then, yeah, I think that's totally the way to go. Way to go. But I think maybe you do upgrade the combo if it's not going to be that much money. Because you are
don't get me wrong, man. I think the combo is the crap just like everybody else. And I'd love to see us get like a nice mid-sized arena that would have other opportunities for concerts and other things. You know, other ways to make money. But at the same time, you know, the convo isn't packed.
Yeah.
But chicken and egg, I feel like if we had a nice facility, a lot more people would go to the games.
Yeah, at least for the first year. And then depending on like everything else, they may or may not come. That happens everywhere. You build a new arena, build a new stadium, people go for the novelty, and then after that,
Says the UNT fan.
Huh? Well, no, I mean, no, that's everywhere. That's like...
I know. Yeah, but, I mean, the fact of the matter is that a random fan from San Antonio is not going to want to go to our brown Shinto box that we have. You know, and that's just the reality of it, that crappy facilities turn people away or turn people off.
But another example, like, you know, with football, like when the suites went for sale, they were going quick, right? When we were selling suites, if we did have a facility that had, you know, just a small amount of suites, 15, 18 suites, would corporations buy the suites? I don't know that they would.
They might just to do it just because they have the money to do it. And, you know, it's like another, they get some prestige. Like, hey, look at Wells Fargo. We sponsored Box 4. And
it would be a lot harder to sell than the football would be. I can guarantee you that.
No, no doubt.
That's Texas, I mean.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. If that is the case, and that's a dilemma, if somebody's saying, look, we got this opportunity to put these millions of dollars here, and we need to strike right now to build this weight room. I don't know what the hell they're going to build. I also think that, like, if you have a plan and everything's set up and, you know, all you got to do is just fund the damn thing, then you fund it. You know, because I don't know what plans are in place right now that are on the table ready to be, you know, done for, like, football. You know what I mean? Is there anything? Like, here's a Roadrunner Village. Here's a, you know, this is where the weight room's going to be. The coach's office is... blah, blah, blah. Here it is. Here's, like, our plan. Ready? Just somebody give us the money. Is there out there? Anybody heard of that?
Yeah. Like, they have the whole thing planned out.
Well, I mean, like, it's one thing to drop the things. Like, the contracts are ready to be signed. All we need is the funding. There's that there?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, we just have, like, 10-year plans, I think, is all we have. Phase 2, phase 3 type stuff.
Yeah, and I think, well, basically what I'm saying is, like, if we have, that's in the future, and, like, oh, yeah, I'll hammer out the details whenever we get around to it, versus, you know, this NISD thing is all we need is the money, you know, so we could start paying the guys to, like, start knocking down some shit and building up an arena. Then you do that because it's right there and you strike while the iron's hot. While you have the money, you build it up. Or else the combo is never getting fucking built, you know?
Yeah.
And then like on the baseball side, you know, there's been a lot of talk about this whole thing about building a downtown stadium with the city and have UTSA involved with that. I say let the city work that shit out and we'll just ride it. Just like we do at Wolf, you know, lease it out or whatever it is. But, you know, they want to build a downtown park, you know, let them do it and then we'll do our thing. But I wouldn't worry too much about that, but I'm not a big college baseball fan, so that's just my perspective.
Yeah,
I don't see a return on investment in baseball anyway.
I disagree with that because I feel like Texas State, for instance, makes pretty damn good money off their baseball team, and there are a lot of schools out there that do turn profits on baseball. You know, it's nowhere near as high as basketball or football, but it can be done. And I feel like in a town like San Antonio, where there's not an MLB team, you could do it. There's definitely the talent base here to have a really competitive team.
I just don't see, you know, maybe my perspective is wrong, but I don't see someone picking UTSA baseball over maybe AA baseball that we already have. It would be nice to have a nice stadium that had good experiences. Like I put on my blog about how Round Rock is, and it's just like very family friendly, and it just attracts people outside of the baseball. But
yeah,
and the Texas State Stadium is really nice. It's you know, it's a little bit smaller than a minor league park, but it's a very nice place. But I don't know. I don't know in the UTSA realm. But at the same time, there's no doubt our facilities are subpar for where we're going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. These things are like, it goes down to convenience or like powerful draw. Like, why in the hell would you go to the East Side if the Spurs were not there? Like, to go out there to go hang out? You wouldn't, you know? They built it out there because it was cheap and whatever. But the draw is the Spurs, you know? Nobody's going out to, people are going out there, but not as many people are going out to watch AA baseball in the middle of, you know, 90 out there, because the draw for baseball is not as strong. And so then, and also you don't have no convenience. So you're kind of, that's why it's kind of stuck in the middle, and they're losing money, and the stadium's way out of date. It's like 20 something years old. I don't think, you know, like, somebody, the missions guy is going to have to do it on his own. He's going to have to build it down there. They're just trying to rope in UTSA for political reasons, so that way they can say, yo, look, it's going to benefit the community. UTSA will be able to play there too, right? And everybody's like, well, yeah, I guess they would be able to play there, but, you know, I don't think it's really, you know, that's what they're trying to do.
I say go and play that game, but don't dedicate anything to it. That's what I say.
Are you guys trying to say that you think that UTSA is expected to place money up front for the construction costs? Is that why this is an argument?
No, it's not like an argument. I think they're just trying to get UTSA in there. And I think if UTSA is like, yeah, sure, why not? We'll be there, but I don't know the details of it.
I would expect them to try to pull something out of UTSA for it.
No, I don't think that's the case.
Further research is needed.
What?
I said further research is needed into this topic. We'll bring it up next week.
There was a good article about it like a year or so ago. But, no, I'm pretty sure they weren't looking for money from UTSA to start it up. It's just like, oh, well, we get a percentage of whatever.
Oh. If that's the case, that's fine. Let's do it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's why I was having a hard time understanding why you guys were kind of arguing about it.
The topic was like, well, we're not arguing. The topic is like, hey, you know, should we invest money in baseball and, like, you know, building a stadium downtown or something? I think the missions got to figure that shit out on their own. Go ahead, Schaefer.
Yeah, but one of the plans they were talking about was building it on the property of Institute of Texas Cultures, which is, you know, run by UTSA,
right next to the Alamo Dome.
And so, you know, that's real estate right there. So, you know, I don't know what that does to the existing facility and what that facility does for UTSA right now. If they'd have to tear it down, or if there's enough, I couldn't imagine there's enough property right now to put it there. But that was one of the things I think that Nelson Wolf was talking about, which would be kind of cool. I mean, the tower is like, would be providing shade on the home.
Yeah, it's next to the Alamo Dome too.
Yeah, that would be awesome, because you're downtown, like, you know, you're walking on the river and you're like, hey, it's what, 2:30? I think the missions play today. You want to go catch a game? Tickets are only $15, and you go catch a game, you know?
So that's UTSA giving up an asset, but, you know, maybe it's not one of their more valuable assets, but. Yeah.
So that is kind of like contributing money, you know, to the cause. You're contributing land that could be used for other reasons. All right, so let's get off all these hypotheticals, and let's talk about some things that happened, like the Virginia series got canceled. Are you guys sad about that?
No, it's great news, because we had a couple of ways.
Yeah, it had to happen. Something had to get canceled. So the choices were what? Oklahoma State, Houston, New Mexico, Virginia, and what? There was
Houston.
Houston. So Virginia is the one that, like, I think the least number of people would care.
Well, because Virginia needed to cut a game too, so it's not like we had to like give up money on that one.
Let me look at the upcoming schedules here on our thing here.
The only thing that I was disappointed about is Cam Jones didn't get to extract his revenge on Virginia. Well, I guess it's not really revenge, but like, he was our first commit to like choose us over a BCS school.
Yeah. So there's that storyline that's lost, I guess.
Very, very minor.
very much so.
So obviously that schedule was made when we were still talking about being independent and even going to the WAC, the small WAC. So now that we're in a decent conference, we don't have to worry about this bullshit.
Sweet. All right, so I think that's pretty much all there is to say about the Virginia series being canceled. You guys want to do like some more basketball talk? I noticed on the forum, which you can find at forum.cocachronicles.com, Some people were talking about tailgating at the convo. Are you guys into tailgating for basketball?
Nah.
I can't get into that. It seems kind of weird. Like, you know, you're like outside barbecue and then you go sit inside of air conditioned. It's just kind of weird.
Yeah.
We go to air conditioning in the Alamo.
Yeah, I know, but like, I mean, like in that particular area, you know what I mean? Like football, you still kind of feel like you're out and there's like a big event because there's like grass and stuff, you know what I mean? I don't know.
I could see like a one random Saturday, maybe go out there and have some beers, but
I mean, not hardcore. Drink before a basketball game, that's what I do. Just like the whole tailgating thing is too closely assimilated to football in my mind and heart.
Yeah, I think maybe you go do like some pregame and like at a bar. Like basketball, like is like a bar kind of play. I don't know. It seems like me. Maybe you know what? Maybe we change all these old traditions, and maybe we do tailgate for some basketball. You know what I mean? They have the little thing out there where they have like the bus people trying to sell this like, you know, Red Bull or whatever. You know, maybe we can toss into that mix some beers and some barbecue. I'm not totally opposed to it. It doesn't appeal to me, just like, you know, off the top of my head, though.
I feel like all the people that want to tailgate for basketball are just trying to, like, kid themselves into thinking that they're almost getting football. You know what I mean?
I guess. I don't
know. It's kind of like, you know, your ex breaks up with you and she was a smoking hot blonde. So you go with another blonde thinking, you know, she's like 75% of my ex. Maybe that'll work.
Yeah, I think maybe like one little blowout on a Saturday game would be kind of cool, but not every game type of deal. Remember football season come February.
You can't even, like, you can do it, but you can't even really do it. Like, I mean, you can tailgate, but you can't really drink because it's, like, prohibited, right? You can't do it on campus grounds. Well, F that, man. Like, what is the point?
Exactly.
What's the point? If you're not going to get drunk, what's the point? Says the album. All right, so speaking of the convo and basketball, there are going to be some changes to the convo. Jared.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, when I originally heard about all this stuff, essentially what they're going to do, first off, is that they have, like, a lot of small things planned to kind of try to make the convo be, like, less of a...
Terrible.
Yeah. What's the word to, like, describe that place? Like, a drain of life? I don't know.
Something. I just call it homely, but not in a good way, in the bad way.
Yeah, in a bad way. So, I had heard that they were like closing off the the top half of the the east side of the convo.
Yeah. Which is what? The side on the benches? The bench side?
No, it's the student side.
Okay.
So the advantage of that is obviously the students are going to cramp in and they'll be louder and, you know, be more intimidating. And I thought they did that on purpose. It turns out the fire marshal had something to do with the whole thing. Like, they weren't up to, like, building code. So it wasn't their choice. And it's a permanent thing. So, you know, the Texas State game is going to sell out but not break an attendance record, which kind of sucks. And they're going to be losing money from it.
Yeah, I wonder what the problem, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not an expert on building codes, so I don't know what the hell.
Yeah, it's weird stuff. But yeah, I mean that's the gist of it.
So good or bad thing for the convo? What do we consider? Is it good? Good that it'll be louder. Bad that
it'll be louder. There's no getting around that. Also, I heard that instead of having the curtains be like whatever color they are now, they're gonna make it like, you know, UTSA themed, which are pretty tight. And that they're going to try to have more players available for, like, autographs before games.
That's cool. So, for the kids, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not big on autographs. Are you guys big on autographs? Do you, like,
seek them out? Not a total opposite. I took the Bo Manny Jones. And he says the same thing about wearing another man's jersey. I mean, you're pretty much admitting that you're less of a man than the guy that you're getting an autograph / buying a jersey of, right? You'll feel me on that.
I kind of see what he's saying, but I'm also like, you know, I'm not. I can recognize some greatness. You know what I mean? Like, I can recognize something good, and it's not. It's more like I respect what you're doing, and I respect your game. Not that I want to be you, and here's my wife. Please have sex with her. You know what I mean? So, although, like, I'm not the biggest fan of, like, being an adult and wearing a jersey, like, just to, like, the mall.
Right.
I'll maybe rock a jersey. I don't know. I haven't rocked a jersey in a long time. I'm more about,
wearing, like, I'm okay wearing the jersey to the game, but, yeah, the autograph thing, yeah, especially with college kids, I think that's
a lot. Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
My freshman, sophomore year of college, like, some dude I worked with, he was like, you know you're wearing another man's name on your back.
Yeah.
And, like, so that's what first got me. It's not the first time I heard it, Bomani Jones saying it, that stuff. I don't think it necessarily means you're less of a man, but I think you got to think about that. And whatever epiphanies you reach by, you know, thinking about that, examining your life, you know, the examined life. The unexamined life's not worth living, et cetera, right? I took freshman philosophy.
You pull that over your ass every once in a while.
Well, I think, you know what? I do, and I do believe it. You, like, it's just normal shit. It's like looking at yourself and like, hey, where am I going? What am I doing? What am I all about? Why am I wearing another man's jersey on my back? Another man's name. Then I'm like, dude's fucking awesome, that's why. And that dude just dropped 57 points the other day in the championship winning game. Then maybe, okay, I could do that. You know what I mean? If it's just like, you know, who cares about Dwayne Schinstis, whatever his name was, you know, here 15 years later. You know what I mean? Then maybe you don't wear it. I don't know. By the way,
I think game time it's okay. I think wearing it on the streets may be a little gay. And basketball jerseys is gay all the time.
You know what? It's kind of, I'm not the biggest fan of just rocking the jersey without, like, an undershirt. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know about that look. I'm not the biggest on that look. Jared, do you like wearing a basketball jersey?
I've never worn a jersey for apparel purposes in my life, ever.
Yeah. Really? I'm not even a kid, and you didn't put on, like, your, I guess. But you're, like, not a fan of any pro teams, right?
Yeah. Not really. I mean, I like the Red Sox and Celtics, but I'll buy T-shirts and hats, not jerseys.
Yeah.
I've done the Spurs jersey with the T-shirt under it, but I want to do that now.
I have a Ginobili jersey that my mom got me, the authentic. I got a Tim Duncan jersey that I got way back when, and then I got like an Emmitt Smith jersey I got way back when. Then I got like a generic Florida Gators jersey for some reason, like when they were terrible. Yeah, that's the. It. Oh, I got an old Houston Astros one, like the multicolored, the rainbow.
Oh, the dreamsicle.
Tequila Sunrise. I don't know what it's called.
I would advise against if you're a larger man wearing a UTSA jersey to the games this year, because they might ask you to come down and play offensive line.
Yep.
Hey, well, hey, there you go. You'd be a walk-on. Just make sure you have eligibility left. Okay, so the combo's changing. What else do we have to talk about, fellas? You want to talk about Online Dynasty?
We can talk about this transfer guy from Wyoming.
Oh, yeah, the Sutton guy that you're Twittering with.
It seems like you were the first person to tweet that out, Jared.
Yeah, well, because I talked to a guy that he blogs about Wyoming, so he kind of tipped me off to it. But, the kid's from Texarkana, badass running back, man. He's very, very good, very talented. And essentially what happened is his mom got sick, just how Ashad Mabry transferred to UTSA. But the reason why he wants to play at UTSA is because he's friends with a lot of the guys on the team. Because for whatever reason, like, East Texas has, like, this pretty close bond between football players there. I guess because the towns are so small, they kind of know each other.
Yeah.
I don't really know. So, yeah, he's very, very interested in UTSA right now, but I don't know if he's, like, talked to the coaches. My impression is that he hasn't, just because he just announced he's transferring, like, today. So, it'll be interesting to see. So
after Jared put that out there, I watched his video. The guy looks pretty badass. He's got explosive speed, and he's got a lot of a break and tackle ability from his high school video.
He's big as hell too. He's very, very stout.
Yeah, well, he's big, like solid. He's 5'8". He's kind of tiny.
But just so it's clear, that would be a transfer for playing in 2013, right?
Unless he gets a hard
after sitting out this year,
I mean, he could definitely be a candidate to get a waiver, because it would be like a mid-season transfer. And, you know, it's due to, like, a family issue. But
how forgiving is How forgiving is the NCAA with hardship things like that?
Dude, that's the problem, is that there's no real standard there. They're very, very weird about it. I mean, I've seen guys get hardships that didn't really deserve it, and I've seen guys like obviously needed it, didn't receive it. But the good news is that if he does have to sit out, he didn't redshirt at Wyoming. He played as a true freshman, so he would still have 3 years to play at UTSA. So after Glasgow and Okocha are gone, he would still be there.
Cool. Sweet. Sweet. Yeah. There you go. Succession planning, guys. Yeah. Okay. So.
See, now it's going to be interesting to see what happened, because, like, supposedly Donald Hopkins said that he wanted to go to UTSA, and when they called him, they said they didn't have any scholarships available, which I think is bullshit. I don't believe that at all. I think, because, you know, Coach Bush is on the staff at Houston, so I feel like Coach Bush told them, like, yeah, he did this, this, and this. You probably don't want him, or something to that effect.
Yeah, there's a lot of back and forth about him having a scholarship available here or not.
I mean, I don't know. I know for a fact that they have scholarships available, because, A, the dumbass who got arrested at the outpost with the AK-47 or whatever, they were planning to give him a scholarship this semester. I just found this out today. And also, the Spencer Phillips kid was on scholarship, and he left the team. So, unless they
Did he like leave the team and keep a scholarship?
They don't do that.
They don't. Some do. They'll let them.
Yeah,
stay
but
on it.
It's only guys that are like seniors, and, you know, they played for 3 years, and they were really good guys. I doubt they gave a redshirt sophomore his scholarship for the next couple of years. And, I mean, we don't even know if this kid's at UTSA anymore or not. So
you think there may be lying to what's
for Hopkins?
Yeah,
that's my theory.
There you go. Here at first, breaking sort of opinions. That's hot sports opinions.
I mean, that's just kind of putting
fresh out the oven.
Oh, God.
I like it, man. Okay, so we're kind of wrapping up the show.
Hey, one other topic, Adam, was let's talk about the Honey Badger maybe going to McNeese State and coming to our late home game.
Oh,
well,
no.
He might not.
Actually,
he's
going to
be
just
in
came
rehab.
Out. Yeah, while we paused it earlier, a report came out that he's actually taking the fall semester off to go to drug rehab in Houston.
Are you serious?
How about that?
So you can go to rehab for weed.
Yeah, it's addictive. And haven't you heard?
Yeah.
I didn't think you could do that for weed. I thought that was
you go to rehab for having sex too much, man. You go to rehab for everything.
Yeah, you can go to rehab just to save face.
Yeah,
gonna throw that out there.
There's people that sniff glue and eat toilet paper that have to go to rehab, I guess. So.
So anything else? You want to wrap up anything? You want to have parting shots, guys?
Well, yeah, I got one thing. Go ahead, Jared.
I mean, if for whatever reason you listen to our podcast but you haven't checked out our forum yet, we've kind of decided on throwing like an unofficial watch party at Parricos, which evidently used to be called Champs. That was before my time, but that's what I've heard. But Parricos is a pretty newly opened restaurant, and evidently they're going to let us bring a laptop and like show the game on like 19 of their TVs or something like that.
Sweet.
So be checking the forum and the blog for info.
Yeah. Caveat, we're going to go test out the system this Sunday. So if you guys want to be there to buy me a beer, then what time are we going, Shafe? 5 p.m. maybe?
Yeah, 5 o'clock is what it's set at right now.
Cool. So and how would you know? You're sitting there and you're wondering, like, well, how would I know what time you're going, Adam? Like, what if you change your mind? Well, you can follow us on Twitter, man.
Us
on Twitter.
Yeah, if you listen to this, you don't follow Twitter, I don't know what the hell's wrong with you.
Yeah, like, Twitter is not all about me updating you when I'm drinking Sprite and when I'm drinking Coca-Cola.
You know,
yeah, if you want to, you got to go on Twitter just to hear me and Adam bullshit about our lives, but you got to at least follow Jared, because he breaks all kinds of crazy shit.
Yeah,
because
Jared has no life, actually, so he can't do anything, and he's only tweeting about recruiting.
Now, he's our one legit newsbreaker we got.
I'm being mean, but this is a lot of truth there. Jared's been breaking some shit on Twitter. Like, if you see it, like, maybe you're reading some other sites. Maybe even you're reading my essay and you're like, hey, I heard my buddy talking about this. Why is it just coming out now? Like, why am I reading about this guy that left the team in May today in August? You know what I mean? Like, what's the deal? Well, that's because you ain't been following Jared on Twitter. Where can we find you on Twitter, Jared?
My Coker Chronicles account is at CC_Jared.
Yeah. So ask your techie kind of buddy there. Like, hey, how do I do the underscore? He'll help you out.
Will you hold on the shift button, sir?
Yeah. And we got two other ones. Mine's AztecSkin_CC. There's that underscore again. Same method. Shafe, you're ShaferCC?
Yeah, I couldn't find the underscore, so I just went ShaferCC.
Yeah, see, for people like Shafe, they can't find the underscore. And then there's also...
People who have a career in the IT field who can't find the underscore key.
Yeah, it's of course, the main one is at Coke Chronicles on the Twitter. Maybe you don't like Twitter. Maybe you just want to have conversations and you want it to be there and you don't like how it's all changing and moving and there's all these pound signs and whatever. And people talking about hash browns or whatever. It's not that. Go to the forum. Forum.cokerchronicles.com. You don't know how to type it into the address bar. That's fine also. Go to cokerchronicles.com. Click on the link. Top. It says forum.
Check the top.
Yeah, it's on the top. Cokerchronicles.com.
Me and Schaefer, we were out drinking and shit Saturday night at Rebar, which is a great place. And he did bring up, in his own words, Coker Chronicles fucking runs Twitter. So y'all can run and cash that check.
Yeah, there it is.
It's true. Hey, and also we got a chunk of tickets for the Rice game. And I think we got about 5 or 6 available. So if you're interested in that, go to the forum, forum.cokerchronicles.com, and claim your ticket now because they're going quick.
Yeah, you can contact us in any of those ways. Forum on Twitter, and also good old fashioned email. All our contact information is on the site, the blog, which is the heart of what we do, ladies and gentlemen. But I'll give it to you right now. It's podcast@cokerchronicles.com. So do that. Get in touch with us. Talk to us. We'll talk to UTSA Sports. Maybe you want to advertise on the site. We can do that too. Maybe you just want to tell me you hate me and that I should shut up. You know? Tell me. Tell me. I'd like to hear it. So, yeah. There you go. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Ways to get in contact with us. Community building. That's what we do here on the show. Anything else, guys? I can't wait to our showdown on the online dynasty, which you can join, by the way, if you have a PlayStation 3. And you know what? Hey, if you got an Xbox and you want to be the commissioner of the league, and you say, hey, Jared, F you in the face, I could take UTSA to undefeated season and not just an 11-2 season or whatever it was. Then go ahead and do it. Post it on the forum and say, you can take over it and give us updates and we'll have lots of fun. I'm going to pass out trophies. I already need to give a trophy to ECU over there. Who did it? LD Stacy, that guy. He won it, right? He won the conference. Yeah. I got to give him a trophy. I'm going to give him like a beer or something.
Yeah. I think we're 7 members in our dynasty now?
Yeah, dynasty's up to 7 members. We already had 2 user games going on. One was a complete blowout. Now it's terrible. I gave him so much shit today at work. It was fun.
Oh, you work with this guy. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, hey, everybody, I just want to interrupt this meeting, this sales meeting, to let everyone know that this guy just got beat 54-3.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so there's that. That's what this is all about, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, next week on the podcast, we'll be doing the big season preview.
Season preview.
Spectacular. Yeah,
I'm hoping that we can get some more media coverage of practice from, certain beat writers that have access to that this week.
Sweet.
So hopefully we can have more information to give you.
Sweet.
Or opinionate over, ruminate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So have fun in your cubicle or wherever you are listening to the show. We're gone. We're done. Say bye, everybody.
Later. TGIF. Bye-bye. It's Friday for y'all.
Yeah.
Drink a beer.
There you go.
Roll Tide.
All right, we're done.